Hi, good evening, everyone.
Hi,
Dorothy. Hi. Let me just adjust this too short. Okay. Hi, good evening, everyone. Thank you so much for being here. We're going to have such a great reading tonight. Zach Lindsay's poetry is unapologetic. It is raw. It is surreal, romantic, honest. It is sensory overload that beckons and seduces us into his landscape. It is the type of work that commands an orchestra late at night, transporting us into a plane where beds become sinks, stoplights tell us not to stop, and desire reigns supreme. And yet, I'd argue that Mr. Lindsay is an expert on tenderness. Take these lines from First Week Without You. Exhale, my sweet. Wherever I am unapologetic in embracing my desire for you to smile when we're together and apart, as with any pleasure I want, only always more eruptive rooftop. Zach's poetry erupts, and I love how his speakers say exactly what they mean, exactly when they're thinking and feeling it from the bottom of their heart. And that's very rare even in the world of poetry. And I might add that that's also very, very attractive. I love Zach's plethora of knowledge. I love the range of his poetry, how even with this range from subject matter to form, I know exactly what a Zach Lindsay poem is. I can identify a Zach Lindsay poem in a journal or online. It is a poem of great immediacy, a poem that doesn't stop and will never stop even at the bottom of the page. It is a poem of tongue-in-cheek romance and flirtation mixed with seriousness. It is a poem of burn and of blush and of horror and of sex. And take these lines from Truth Is, I Don't Remember Much. I wrote a story where I fell in love and didn't have to teach my lover's hands to start with a promise that interwove for weeks with mine before they spread across my chest without that recurrent scene where I come to in the bedroom from a fugue state asking, who are you? I'm sorry. Who are you? I'm sorry. Zach Lindsay's poetry is published or forthcoming in Hot House Literary Journal, Nimrod International Journal, Permafrost Magazine, Sonora Review, Unlost Journal, and Voices de la Luna. And his first article, The Body Out of Place, Rereading Percival Everett Through Sarah Ahmed, appears in Intersections, Volume 19. Semi-finalist for the Pablo Neruda Poetry Prize and recipient of the Wendy Barker Creative Writing Award and Keith Thomas Memorial Scholarship, Lindsay earned his bachelor's degree in English from the University of Texas at Austin, his master's in literature from UT San Antonio, and is currently pursuing a PhD in creative writing at Florida State University. And I must add that Zach is such an integral part of the Southeast Review and our community. And Zach, thank you for your creativity and your passion and your kindness and your warmth and your brilliance. And thank you for everything you do. And on top of that, you're such a great friend, and I can't imagine my world without you. Everyone, Zach Lindsay.
Hi. Thank you, Dorothy. I do. Thank you all so much for being here. It's very special to me. Thank you, David and Barbara, Bob, Aaron. Thank you, my friends and loved ones. I'm so grateful to have you here. I'm speaking softly right now. Can you hear me? Okay, that's good. Truth is, I don't remember much about gay conversion therapy. There was conversation, sure, a whiteboard, probably Kleenex, or some lotionless off-brand in a cardboard box, and the first grown man who said masturbation, as if the word would follow close behind me with a snigger and a knife. I do recall the therapist's whiskers, though, how he said penis, the way he said prayer, sour-faced, as if only God knows the punchline. When marriage equality passed, I racked my head for suggestions other than when you get that urge, use the toilet instead and smell it. Invite God into your heart and bathroom. Call the sun, the Holy Ghost, the Spirit. I wrote a story where I fell in love and didn't have to teach my lover's hands to start with a promise that interwove for weeks with mine before they spread across my chest without that recurrent scene where I come to in the bedroom from a fugue state asking, "Who are you? I'm sorry." Didn't have to ask permission for wanting, could remember names, could open my eyes at compliments, could say I love you without crying. So no, when faggot regained popularity in 2016, my sibling stopped pretending love was unconditional, and my country laughed at the words internment camp. No, I was not surprised. I was not shocked. I had a pill for morning, a job for afternoon, and a long night ahead of bringing back whiteboards, that good old time religion, and love for sinners, not the sin. Thank you. I'm gonna read one more older one. These first two I wrote about 400 years ago. The other seven that I'll be reading are rather new. Paris after Oestreicher's Old Woman, Tulip, and Dog. This is the time we see through three sets of eyes or more. The road is wide, the road is long, the road is covered in flames. We are stationed at posts, we stand at posts, looking and feel as though we are stationed. On every corner, a thick glass box. On every corner, a beady-eyed graduate strapped with a rifle. We look for the bees, our buds dry, crack our petals like old roof tiles, our tongues on the tiles, our tongues on the cracks. We lick the wounds, our petals, our paws on your lap. We droop with our paws on your laps. We dream. Hallelujah, said the old woman, hallelujah, said the bud, hallelujah, said the breeze, carrying. And this one is called First Week Without You. Vintage and rented books stacked beside the pillow, boxers knotted around my calves, asphyxiated by sweater accidentally midday. I have found without you the bed is a sink, and so approach it with some caution. I don't mean your rump, sharp, lily pad on the hum, pond of love, or your pulp and fleshy fingers sucked as olives to their pits, and from my armpits, how they swim upstream my arms. I have in mean the bed that is a mattress, and these absences of a bed, springs that rust without your softening. I have a frame that is without you, and so becomes a copper hole or concrete. This without, beside my sink, the streets even keep taking. A stoplight told me not to stop. A lollipop said six licks until your neck swells. Exhale, my sweet, wherever. I am unapologetic in embracing my desire for you to smile when we're together and apart. As with any pleasure, I want only always more eruptive rooftop shingles, orange kettle elements hurled against a hurricane from whose abominable howl nothing anywhere is spared, and water veins and laughter and juices in perpetuity. I have an urge to rush like that, to love you like furuncles creased between green thumbs or the blunt side of a knife and marble. And when we peel again, I'll pressure you in ointment, kiss you into quiet as condensation on an abalone bowl. I have cold sweats looking for a callus on my apartment floor. I have your tongue in an inclination on the insides of my cheek. I plunge French presses in succession to keep from underneath the sheet, to hold, to keep from underneath. I promised my students that if they attended, they would get to hear their instructor use no good, very bad language. This one is called Dream in Which I Fuck You Hard as You Ask Me Until I Swallow and You No Longer Solid Are an Abyss. Hasn't it been thirstier outside lately? Or is that just me? The happy victim, bloodless, emptied a peanut too eager in the cheeks. I had only intended to take a bite, not poison or convulse, but now, empty and disappeared, styrofoam, dish a fever blister, you. My God, my throat is showing from the inside, yours is flowing up and through it. The intact, rejected skin is thin as a shedding, is pinned to a cloud. I swear, if it weren't for your mouth cross-stitched to the cells of the skin I didn't digest, there'd be nothing floating overhead but sun, out and raining daisies into a levered jaw. Does that feel great? I want you to fuck me harder. There. You said it. You finally said that. I had been waiting, sweaty, purple snake, rearing a coiled tail spotted bright white with receptive highlights from the sand dune shine, tearing my hood from hinge to hinge across a barb in a chain link fence. The sky has never been a solid. It's an appetite waiting to open. Y'all are very generous, thank you. And this is called Valentine's. Valentine's. I'm crazy for having been rewritten. Crave, disintegrate, balk, and falter at the strength and the slant of your cursive, and buck as a horse, snarl, bite, bare my teeth as a dog, crack my canines on the fences, which you, I have come to learn, are opening. Thus I know I've been a buck, a dog. Both lunging and beaten before you began to excavate each beast because every animal asks of his new master, will he love me? Will he be delicate as he straps the saddle? Then we let ourselves be kept, ask, can I keep him? When with time the hand proves gentle and true, which I knew that you were gentle. I knew it in your eyes, though it seems every animal must ask this for himself. Would that you would have me. I will forfeit all my animals to you, Scrivener, to rewrite as I likewise wait by every gate, my hand above another handle, teeth dripping on another link until we learn each of one another's fences, crouched on either side and opening, knowing more then and less somehow than when we met, than we know now. Striking the match. Ooh. Sorry, there's a lot of excitement going on with the wind. That's a good sign. Striking the match. I wouldn't use a word like soft if we were speaking, not sitting on the rigid futon at your place, always at your place. I'd say, take my legs, which I've been stretching, opener for you and your fingers, our sweat between. Same wax on both our heads. How half the time I finish with you watching, I'm allowed to want this too. I clench my eyes to think. We share your towel on the weekends. Plan a place called home, meaning no more secrets, sugar. Paintings affixed to the wall with fishing lines and spokes. Considering breeds of canines, buying the fucking dental. And your organ poppet, button eyes and X's for a mouth who dips his feet in a field of dust bunnies. His seat will be the mantle. Look, no more bottom shelf. He hasn't read your messages in months. The handmade mittens, friends that visit, and all of the attention He's been banking on shared spaces, places where with one word we buy beaded handcuffs, matching bands, a rose gold home on the west coast that burns perennial a fire, cloves outside, cinnamon within, and he above the hearth keeps from oversalting conversation as you lap up every last drop of milk off the laminate eucalyptus, the stem that bears the stuffing cotton, melanoma patches grafted off the field hand's back, stitches in the linen, make the doll, we'll have a place, and call it blanket, because half the cars I know sing off the cliff, because of the vase, because bedroom doors scream open, faces drain before they dress, because on the television show, the queen mother lost her son, and she hasn't started grieving, the window's closing, I can sense this, no one locked our wedding bed, I clip my nails too loud, you've had at least one love before me, he was far too many men, so you have got to be hands on, darling claw, one of us will have to unsheathe your good intentions, sink a break into, simmer, oh, or simmer, the last of the jasmine rice, pilled sweaters, the yellow beneath my toe, hands, he was too many, men you have got to, back straight, eyes fixed to wallpaper, behind the wallpaper, behind my back, your curling, fingers, imprint, unintended hieroglyphs, and who between us can read the signs, and who will be the kindling paper? Thank you. Scald. At every stoplight, brake pads shed microscopic flakes of copper, zinc, and lead. In every beacon, a shine, but also something burns. Filaments, maybe, or the glass that holds the light. Let me say, I make no claim to mastery over matter. Even chemical physicists can't decide why glass is not a solid. The particles are in a traffic jam, they say, not crystallized, but waiting. To be clear, all glass is liquid, which is to say all glass is liquid to be clear. So every light is in an ocean, each flame behind a stream. I am waiting to be recognized as dangerous, but unmoved by death, doesn't mean not constantly afraid to be alive, and now that I've rehearsed survival, everywhere the lights burn, the window is still against the wall, and around me your padlock arms. You take me into your arms and say always, as if love could be liquids, linings, not the copper, heat, not the rust. This next one is going to be my penultimate poem. So I have two more, and then I'm done. Thank you so much. Landscape of Floating Rivers. Here you are again, little lover, all ache and pulse, letting me out through the artery I keep open in my arm. Supposing a man brings flames, sutures, bandages, a little something that scars, a little something sweet. But I can no longer clap for you, this bleeding me out to the sky gods, leeches, ruse, this too familiar stream run dry. Instead, I can weigh your carving silences. These river stones, now reckoning your tongue, I can lift them away, can lessen the weight, I can reach my hands into spaces where stars have no say over what's lit, what's alighting. I can gather lost drops on the pad of my pointer and trace them into me. Again, empty rivers, I can do this. I dreamed I can do this. Clench the vein between prayer hands till it closes, sinks behind the skin, and what will be left in damages is no marks on my forearm, but a freckle with my own purpled lips, closing it. 4 Finian, after rehab, as Saint-Saëns Symphony No. 3 in C minor, Opus 78. You told us when your mother died, Two tears trailed down her cheeks, your hand in hers, and as she took her final breath, a doe with twin fawns ambled outside the glass wall. Darling man, did you expect us to believe you? The strained Australian accent, bachelor degrees and everything. You looked for girls with thick middle fingers, open minds and experience. Told our housemates that orgasm felt better with the blush of new romance, someone to compete with, and a bursting bladder. The heirs to Philip Morris and R.J. Reynolds, the meth heads learning meditation, the 20-year-old teddy bear sneaking steroids, and that tool from Laguna Beach Celebrity Rehab Season 1. They called you dictionary, encyclopedia, genius, said usually little to your face. I called you out for bullshit and kept your number in my phone. Found you skunk rank and under, whiskey, wine heavy with a smile, months after your release, saying alcohol never was my problem. And maybe you were right. Maybe you were dry. On a wooden hanger, your baby blue button up, silk, clean under the arms, stretched, outdated collar, color, cut, refolded every year, readying my closet for donations and for keeps. Your small brown stain in the crook of the sleeve, no wider than a dime, no weightier. Isn't that all it took? A rind of China white, pure heroin, a needle, and a belt, a lasting shower, hot to cold, your stilled fountain of vomit on linoleum. And how many days passed before somebody came? And how long did you bathe? That isn't how you would have had it, Finian, hardened and alone. You'd prefer a symphony, so I'll say you were a stag, holding my hand, and the organ pipes. Listen, outward from the flute. The house is full, my friend, and we can hear their humming. Maestro raises his wand, and the mountain peaks blossom. Lilies parachute from the precipice. That is you, not the base of any glacier, not the quiet, freezing man, but thunder snow, descending into craters, sparkling in the heat. The string section was bat wings, as every vibrato confessed its own blindness. You were looking for light. Your mother was a doe with fawns, and the brass crashed. She fled to thunder. And the brass crashed. The piano shrieked. You joined her in the lightning vein. The strings chiseled the sky. The stage shook crescendo. Your antlers were ivory, and everything you said was true. Forzando, here you were, felted black orchestra thunderous. Here, royal fin draped in molten ribbons, galloping through the smog. Thank you.